I'm a disaster reporter, which sounds really morbid, but actually it's not. Our website, our news website, covers the good and the bad of disasters, but in no way, in no way, shape, or means are we the like ambulance-chasing type of reporters. You know, you won't see me outside in the middle of a Category 5 hurricane hanging onto a pole going, "Oh my shit, it's Whitney!" We don't do that. But I do travel a lot, and so I have a lot of stories. And I actually have three types of stories, the first one being very cut and dry. It's like it's the articles that I write for our news website. They're very newsy. Some are hard news. Some are features. You know, they're about, you know, the woman whose home was destroyed by a tornado, or someone who was, you know, in their attic as the water was rising, or maybe the health issues of a search and rescue worker who worked at Ground Zero for months. Those types of newsy types issues. And the second story I tell is much sillier, and it's very much related to my work travel. Things like when I almost hit a buzzard with my rental car, and how I once was taunted by an old woman when I wouldn't let her cross in front of my car to get to Dunkin' Donuts, and she waved her finger in my window. And I also tell the stories of, like, I tell all my friends that I test out the rental cars that I drive, you know, which ones can take a 2-foot snowdrift, which one, how fast you can take a speed bump, you know, stories like that, very just odd, very silly stories, you know, things like that. And there's a third type of story that there is, and that I don't really share with people, and that is how my job profoundly affects me. The things that I see and the things that I write about, you know, I don't necessarily talk about how I met a woman in Alabama after Hurricane Ivan who reminded me of my grandmother, except that she was living, this woman was living in a mold-infested home with no family and no one to help her. And, you know, she looked very tired and was sitting on the front porch of her very dilapidated home talking about how she had mushrooms growing in her kitchen behind the fridge because there was all these leaks in the roof. You know, but I will tell you the story about how I drove a tiny Chevy Avio up a huge muddy mountain in New Hampshire and how much of a ball that was. I'll tell you that story, though. But I won't tell you the story necessarily of what it's like to talk to someone who went through a tornado and it destroyed their house while they were inside of it. What it's like to stand there in a pile of their belongings and interview them, you know, and there's a haze of smoke hanging over the neighborhood because the city's decided to burn the whatever left of the houses that were in this neighborhood. What it's like to talk to someone like that. But I will tell you the story of when I got pulled over by a highway patrolman one time in Florida when I accidentally cut him off looking for the last hotel room available after Hurricane Charlie. I didn't get a ticket, Mom, I swear. And I won't tell you what it's like necessarily whenever I interviewed a retired firefighter who lost his son in the World Trade Center attacks, how he's this big, tough guy, but his eyes are tearing up as he talks about what it was like to lose his son, who was also a firefighter, and how he didn't find the remains of his son until 3 months after 9/11, and how he actually was at Ground Zero himself, sifting through debris looking for his son. But I will tell you about how I laughed post-hurricane one time when I drove past a Hooters in Kissimmee, Florida, and they had a hand spray-painted sign that said, "We're open!" What does this mean? I'm not really sure, but I think it's about coping and how we cope. How do we react when we see these horrible things and experience these horrible things and talk to people who have gone through these horrible things? You know, and my entire life, I've used humor to cope. It's natural, it's second nature to me. So having done this job now for several years, it's like a natural segue for me to use humor to help me cope with this job. But it wasn't until recently when I really thought about how other people might cope with horrible situations. And when I was in Biloxi, Mississippi, after Hurricane Katrina last fall, I was touring some of the devastated areas with a Christian disaster responder. And also along with us in the van were these two women who were from a church in Alabama. And they were down there on a fact-finding mission to figure out how their church could help out, you know, in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. And I don't really remember what they look like. I don't have any, you know, I guess you could say they're like typical, maybe suburban women. I just, you know, now that I think about it, they looked very similar, you know, and all I know is that they were sitting in the very back seat of this, you know, old late model you know, Dodge minivan as we were driving through these neighborhoods. But they were totally, totally a trip. We approach a military checkpoint, and the only reason we get through is because we have a reporter with us, me, and these ladies are in the back like, all right, Heather, woo, you got us in. Oh, a reporter got us in. Woo! You know. And so, you know, we keep driving around, and we're looking at all this just complete devastation, and they're on their cell phones, and they're going back and forth between things like, wow, look at that house, and oh my God, did you get Timmy to soccer practice on time, and that house is totally gone. Ooh, a manicure, schedule me one. Just like back and forth, back and forth, you know, and I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, and they're also whispering things to themselves too, like, you know, they're in the very back, but I can still hear what they're saying. Saying things like, you know, now I don't think God caused this, but he certainly didn't stop it. I think he was trying to tell us something about all the gambling down here. You know, and I'm like, oh, God. And then later on, we stop at this Vietnamese Catholic church. And we're talking to a parishioner there who's talking about how much they need food. You know, they need rice. Rice is a staple food for them, and they need it for all the survivors that they have of their church. And she starts listing off, you know, the foods that they make with rice, and she's listing them off. And one of these women chimes in with, oh, like stir fry. And I shrink. I'm like, I don't know who she is, you know. And the, you know, the Vietnamese woman's like, yeah, like stir fry. So I don't know. I think, you know, these comments at the time, I thought they had no awareness and no sensitivity, and that, you know, that they had no idea what they were doing. But maybe they're not that different from me. You know, how do you react when you see these heart-wrenching stories and things? Like, what do you do? You can't think about it 24/7 and either willing or praying for these people to get better. You know, maybe their backseat theology and their comments was how they were trying to handle the situation. How am I that different? You know, I go and talk to some woman whose home is, you know, full of mold and that sort of thing, and I get an interview, and I go back in my rental car, and I turn on my gangster rap CD, you know, and Tool off, you know. And I go back to my hotel at night, and I'm writing these articles, you know, about very serious stories and how this recovery process and how so much help is more needed. But I'm doing it while I'm watching, you know, a baseball game or, you know, MTV or Dog the Bounty Hunter, you know. You know, am I a vulture for reporting on these issues? You know, is it so bad that I'm, you know, going through these areas with my notebook and my camera and everything, and you know, that I'm there all the time, and I, you know, whenever I get annoyed that I've been in 2-minute meetings and I haven't been out in the shit, you know, taking pictures of things. Am I that different from these women? And are they that different from me? How do we cope? Yeah, I like to think that I'm not one of those ambulance chasing styles of reporters, but sometimes I wonder.